Well, let's read together from John chapter 20, and we're going to take it right through to verse 18, as you'll see. The two parts here go very much together, not just because they follow each other in terms of what was happening and the events, but what's said in these two parts, the empty tomb and then Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, they go together very clearly. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, that's John, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, and just like Peter, went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked the woman, "Why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers," to the disciples, "and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them the things that he had said, or she told them that he had said these things to her. Well, the title is, "Why Did Easter Happen?" And there are two parts to the answer in John's Gospel here, chapter 20. And I wanted us to think about them, first of all. Why did Easter happen? Well, the first reason why Easter happened was so that we could have and know about and look forward to, in a manner of speaking, an empty tomb. It's about death being totally defeated. The grave, if you like, being robbed of its power to hold us. Death being defeated. Now, what we need to understand is what death in the Bible is about and why Good Friday was like the ultimate death, so to speak. In the Bible, death isn't primarily just about your body packing in. Now, that's how we tend to think of it nowadays. We tend to think that death is just your body. It's done. It's packed in. It may be a disease that takes it. It may be maybe old age. Folk aren't allowed to die of old age anymore. You've always got to have something else just to die for, die of. But, you know, there's going to be something on the death certificate that was the, quote, cause of death. So we tend to think of death just in terms of a natural body packing in. But that's not what death means primarily in the Bible. The Bible tells us that there's more to death than just the body packing in. The Bible tells us that death is, maybe we could understand it this way, life being totally and completely, absolutely, eternally separated from God. That's the Bible's view of death in all its horror. That it's not just the body packing in a kind of a natural way that we think about it, it is complete, total separation from God. And that's not natural, if I can put it like that. It isn't something that just happens automatically. Because that total, absolute separation from God is something that God does. Because death is the result of our sin. So when we sin, and just in our nature we do this, when we sin, we turn away from God and we take a step away from him. We sin again, we take another step away. And in terms of what the Bible says in Isaiah, it's like we just go our own way. We have all of us sinned. We have all turned and gone our own way, turned away from God. So what happens, the Bible says, with death is that God is just saying, okay, that's it. That's what you wanted. That's what you'll get. That's what you spent your life doing. Your life's over now. That's where you are. So as we were thinking last week, what God actually is doing there is taking you seriously. He takes us at our word and our deeds. So death is that total separation from God. So death isn't just a natural thing, it's a spiritual thing. The Bible says that that kind of death is absolutely and totally unavoidable. Except if all the sin, the walking away, every single step, willingly walking away from God, if the sin and its penalty, which is separation from God, was paid for. Because if it's been paid for, then it can't be paid for again. This is what we were thinking about last week. What we're thinking about on Good Friday, when we're thinking about the cross. If it's been paid for, then it can't be paid for again. So if somebody pays the price, carries the can, dies the death, then there is hope. Enter Jesus. So him dying on the cross, on our behalf, carrying our sins, enduring that separation from God, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Cut off from the land of the living, as Isaiah says. Jesus crucified, dead, and buried. He did what was needed for there to be a way for you and I not to have death natural, which is terminal, if we can put it like that. Not to suffer terminal death. Well, sure, the body will give out again. But that whole other dimension that the Bible teaches us about separation from God, that needn't happen. Because Jesus took that on the cross. He suffered the sentence, if you like. The sentence was pronounced on him so that we can go free. Now, why did there have to be Easter? Why couldn't there just have been Good Friday? Because if Jesus was still in the tomb, death would have won, wouldn't it? If Jesus was still in the tomb, death would still be holding on to Jesus. So there didn't just have to be a dying of our death, there had to be a conquering of death. It isn't that Jesus just had to die in our place, he also had to rise as well. And if there hadn't been Easter morning, then death would still have won, death would still have a power, death would still be terminal. If Mary Magdalene had gone very early on the first day of the week whilst it was still dark, to the tomb, and seeing the stone rolled away and no body, and concluded it had been stolen, and then went somewhere and found the body, then death would still be terminal for us. Because it would just have got its talons, if you like, into Christ and held him in the tomb. Held him away from God. But you see, he broke the power of sin. He broke the power of death. So he rose again from the dead. The Father who had watched him bear our sin on the cross raised him from the dead. That wasn't an automatic thing. The Father raised him from the dead. The life giver gave him life again. So that instead of death still having the power, God, the giver of life, has the power. God wins. So in the old headline, God won, death nil. See, that's why we have to have Easter. That's why, as the scriptures say, verse 9, the disciples believe that he was alive, but at least they believe the body wasn't there. But they still didn't understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Well, of course he had to rise from the dead, otherwise the work of saving us would not be complete. Death would still have won. Death would still have the power and the upper hand over every one of us. Separation from God would still be the destination for every one of us. So he had to rise from the dead. So that death was not the end. Death isn't terminal. But life follows death. Now Jesus knew this was going to happen. And Jesus said, when he was standing by the tomb of Lazarus, his friend said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. Why? Because he knew what he was going to do. Death wouldn't hold on. The grave wouldn't hold the ultimate power. The grave would not be the final destination. So as Mary goes in and looks and runs back and tells Simon, Peter and John, and they go in and John looks, and then Peter dives straight in, being Peter. And they see, they okay, right, the body's not here, but they haven't yet clicked that he had to rise from the dead. Of course the tomb was empty. It was going to have to be empty. If the tomb was still there, if the body had been, you know, hidden somewhere else and whatever, then death would still have won. And everything that Jesus came to do would just be a nice story, and he'd be just a lovely guy from history and all the rest of it. And there would be no hope, and we would just be right to be totally cynical about human beings and about life. And we should say it was meaningless, and we'd be in that camp. But he didn't stay dead. And so all that is wrong. It's not just not nice. It's wrong. It's not true. We believe in the resurrection, not because it's a nicer thing to believe in, not because it sort of gives you a crumb of comfort in an otherwise meaningless and bleak universe, but because it is true. And what John says when in those little brackets in verse 9, they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. When, you see, he had to be given life again. The tomb had to be empty. The grave clothes had to be useless and redundant. The angels who were there that Mary Magdalene saw had to say, he is not here, he is alive. You see, it was, can we put it like this? It was all scripted. The resurrection, once Good Friday had happened, the resurrection was an absolute cert. The resurrection was bound to happen. Because once he had died, it was either death keeps hold of him or it loses its power. One or the other. Couldn't be half and half. Couldn't be, hey, just whatever you like. It had to be one or the other. Either he was going to stay dead and the grave would be victorious, or he would be raised from the dead and the grave would lose its power. And it was going to be a win for God. Because on the cross, he fully bore all our sin. If there had been anything that he didn't carry of yours or mine on the cross, death would still have had its talons in. But because he bore it all, it was all judged. And he died fully the death that you and I deserve. And as the New Testament says a bit later on, when Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, therefore, God raised him from the dead. So the first reason, why did Easter happen? Easter happened so that then and forevermore, the tomb, the grave, would lose its power. Second reason is because there's a journey going on. And whilst Easter is a massively significant thing in itself, it's just a stage on a journey. It's just a stage on a journey. What does Jesus say to Mary? At verse 17, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." So, death on the cross, Calvary. Risen from the dead, empty tomb. On his way back to the Father, final destination. But not just his final destination. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. If you put your faith in Christ, if you claim him, if you like, as your Saviour from death, then that's your destination too. The Easter was the most glorious staging post on a journey that ends in heaven. So he doesn't hang around in the garden. And he hangs around long enough on earth to get the disciples back together and the whole sort of resurrection impact on them happens, and then he ascends so that he can send the Spirit. But the whole of Jesus' life is one journey from heaven to earth, to the grave, back to the skies. Just one journey. And as he comes and lives our life and dies our death and rises from the dead, he kind of picks up on the way all and any whosoever believes in him. So that his destination becomes yours and mine in Christ and in Christ alone. That's why when the people were preaching the gospel later on in the New Testament, they said there is salvation in no other name than Jesus. Nobody else has ever done what he did for you. There's no salvation in politics. There's no salvation in self-improvement. There's no salvation in money. There's no salvation in being nice at all. There's no salvation anywhere else. Nobody else has sorted the problem. So, why did Easter happen? In order to rob the grave of its power, so that you and I can reach our final destination in Christ and in Christ alone, where he is glorified, honored, praised, worshipped and adored, and where we will be if we are in him. Let's pray.